Hello and welcome to another episode of the Dynamic Thriving Podcast. I am your host, Marianne Pack, spiritual medium, author and publisher, and joy advocate, and guiding you into all things life transformational. And this is the Unmuted Voices series. And I am so happy to have you watch and visit. And if you're catching the replay, welcome, welcome, welcome. And this is always about people finding their voice after having been muted, maybe for years, maybe from childhood, and how they were not able to express themselves, the truth of who they are, their authentic selves, and then moving into realizing that they could speak their truth, that they could live authentically. And so this show is interviewing guests, and it will culminate into a book anthology for January 2023. So I'm very excited to have my guest today. Christy Borst is with me and going to share her story. Welcome, Christy.
Hi, Marianne and guests. Nice to see you today.
Yes, yes, yes. I'm glad you're here because we have so much to talk about in how you found your voice, how you unmuted your voice, because this is such an important time. We need to be able to express who we are in the world. And so when, Christy, did you realize that it wasn't safe for you to speak your truth or live your truth? Because it's not always just about a vocal thing. It's not always a physical speaking. It's how we're living, how we're expressing life. So I just wrap it all up into that that muted voice kind of syndrome, I guess I could say.
So there's layers to that kind of awakening process or unfolding process, if you will. That's kind of what I call it, like the lotus flower we're kind of unfolding. And I don't believe we're ever really done with that process. So, you know, that's part of the thrill is just what are we going to find as we dive in. But what I have realized in recent years is that when I was just a toddler, I did do a physical healing on myself and was told to shut that kind of healing aspect or my healing gift down, which, you know, is multifaceted. It's part of my spiritual soul journey here to kind of see if I could refine myself. But it's also in that time and place was out of protection for me as a small child in, you know, the early 60s. But what happened, I think, for me and maybe for many other people is that I was such an obedient child that I shut things down so much that I forgot they were even there. So that whole part of myself was shut down. Other than I was able to express my connection to Source, the universe, God, however, you know, whatever you call our higher power, through artwork and through my writing. So that was one channel that I was allowed to still pursue. And that's what I pursued. But what kind of, and I might be jumping ahead here, but what kind of happened for me in that kind of incident of being told I can't be who I am? Then the soul says, well, if I can't be who I think I am, who do I be? And so I think at that point, I learned to be a people pleaser or, you know, able to take the path of least resistance because there would be, you know, either physical or emotional repercussions if I didn't kind of toe the line or you know, be who I was allowed to be. So I feel that that really was a big disconnect for me of not being able to live much of my young years when you're supposed to be so free and eat free and easy. I didn't have that free and easy until I really became an adult, and really more so in the last 15 years as I've really kind of found my puzzle pieces and put myself kind of back together.
Right. So I usually call them like indoctrinated beliefs, because it's things that we've taken on that were not truth. They were not truth for us, but, you know, just like you were told in your family, you can't do this kind of healing. You can't be this spiritual person, this connection to that, to your higher power in that way. So you take on these indoctrinated beliefs, beliefs that I can't be this person, that limits you. So what were some of those kinds of things? What were those beliefs that you took on, whether they were actually said to you as this is how we do it in our family or our religion or our culture or, our, you know, whatever, because they come from so many different places.
Sure.
So what were those indoctrinated beliefs that really made you hunker down and pull in and play small?
So I think probably the biggest one was totally nonverbal. And that was that three-year-old saying to herself, not knowing, you know, this bigger spiritual aspect of things, or even that I was being protected in some way, or allegedly, right? Even my daddy, who's my, you know, prime love, cannot love me as I am.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that was really maybe an underlying belief. And I like to spell belief with small b, small e, capital L-I-E, small f, because, you know, these beliefs, they do have lies in them. That was never really the truth, but that was how it impacted me. So I've always been kind of comfortable to be by myself. So I think it kept me from really being a joiner in any kind of sense of a way, because I did feel like I didn't really know who I was, because I was kind of, you know, just trying to, I don't know, maybe in some way just trying to survive in a world that seemed so much less sensitive than how I experienced it. I think the other kind of indoctrination was these shoulds of, you know, you should treat someone, you know, treat your elder a certain way, even if they're not treating you that way. So that's been really something that's taken a while to really even see that when we're in these programs of should, we don't necessarily even consider what is best for us or what we want to do.
Right. And sometimes, you know, we don't even know what we want. I mean, it's been kind of squashed out of us enough that we don't even know how to evaluate what do we want. Because we've been told so many times, you're not supposed to want this. You're not supposed to be this way. You know, for me, it was my religious indoctrination that kept telling me how terrible I was, you know, and what an innate sinful person that I was. And there was no way to get this out of me. And so, you know, I understand that. And I love that you talked about that, you know, belief or believe with the L-I-E. They are lies. They are not who we are. So how did having to mute your voice, even from this young, young age, how did it affect other parts of your life, like your relationships? And as you grew older, maybe your health or your finances or your career choice, college, how did it affect that? Did it, did it change things? Did it, you know?
So I feel like so blessed in so many ways. And you know, everything, all the trauma that I went through, Marianne, all of the hurt, different abuses, I could say abandonment, et cetera, they are all gateways for me now in the work that I do. So everything has its value. Yes. But when I left home at age 18 to go to college, I had kind of a informal boyfriend. He lived in a different town, so we didn't see each other that much. But I really kind of felt like, okay, now I can be me, and I'm just gonna go out there and have fun. And 3 days into that college experience, the upperclassmen came and I met my husband. And when I met him, I had like one of the first intuition or spirit guidance or, you know, higher self moments where I heard or knew inside of me the words, "He's the one." And this person loved me unconditionally and has loved me unconditionally for all of these years. So I have that beautiful relationship, which has been so healing for me and helped me work through a lot of the stuff that I went through. But one of the things that I did realize was I knew how I didn't want to be treated. I knew what relationship I didn't want. And I knew my worth somehow from a very young age. So when I went to seek a job after my college was done, I went to interview and the person offered me, you know, what I thought was a low amount. And I said, "I won't work for less than X." And he said, "Well, you think you're something, good luck." And I did end up getting that amount. So I think in that way, it almost like instilled in me a little bit of a warrior, like W-A-R-R-I-O-R, you know, just of being a self-advocate of what my value is, of what my worth is, if not to anybody else, to myself.
That's amazing.
And, you know, you talked earlier about not knowing what you want. I can remember some of the first dates I went on with Joe, and, you know, he was treating me. And he said, you know, "Have whatever you want." And I was paralyzed looking at that menu and trying to decide, what do I want? Because I had always been told when we went out, you can have this or this. And maybe those weren't even things that I wanted to have.
Right.
So I think that's the biggest way. And then also the fact that I mentioned earlier that I was allowed to do art. I was encouraged to use my mind. So those are the things that I pursued as a career. I became a graphic designer and copywriter and started my own business early in my 20s. And that was fulfilling for me for many years.
Mm-hmm. So when did some of those aha moments start? You know, sometimes it's a big jolt. Other times it's little things that, you know, as we grow along, we get, you know, what were some of the aha moments that you can remember? When did it kind of start? What was the stepping stone to each aha moment that finally let you blossom?
So I think that I had some early aha moments in my 20s, which was in the 80s. And then I believe that it was time for me. I was actually being called to be a mom. Mm-hmm. And I think at that point, I kind of went back into, you know, not thinking of things spiritual, being more, you know, kind of nuts and bolts, you know, 3D reality, you know, living life. And I believe that that is so that my daughters could have a very non-woo-woo childhood, if you will. But then as they started to become, you know, young adults in high school, I started getting this inner, I don't know if turmoil is the right word, but just inner angst of knowing that there was something more, that there was something that I was supposed to be doing, but I didn't know what it was. Mm-hmm. And so I had been reading metaphysical things, and I had read about manifesting. And one of the things that had stuck with me was that, you know, as humans, we tend to think small, and that the universe is so abundant that we have to kind of open ourselves to that abundance. And the way we can do that is through our feelings. So I kind of said to myself, okay, I don't know what I want to do or what I'm supposed to do, but what do I want to feel when I'm doing that thing? And so I knew it centered around helping people. That's always been kind of a storyline that's been prevalent in my life. Mm-hmm. And so I just focused on that feeling of what I knew I feel like when I help people, or if I could help people in a more monumental way. Yeah. And within probably like a year of that, I had so many like things happen, spiritual messages. One thing was an eagle that came. That's a little bit of a long story. I don't know if you want me to tell that or not. I just began exploring my artwork in a different way. I started doing fractal artwork, which again opened me to more channeling abilities that I didn't know I had. So it was really, I think, the inner self kind of saying, hey, knock, knock, knock. There's more here that you haven't looked at. You know, look inside. Look inside, look inside.
I love it. Absolutely. Yeah, our inner being is always calling us to be true to who we are. Sometimes we just are sidetracked and don't hear it, or, you know, all that indoctrination or whatever we've heaped on ourselves, or allowed others to heap on ourselves, become that people pleaser, become that compliant person that does all the shoulds that we should do, you know, that we miss out. And, but our inner being never stops calling us to more life. And I think that's it. You know, even for me, it was like, I knew something had to shift. I knew there had to be something more. You know, my spiritual walk, my life should feel happy. Because I love that you brought up that it is so much around feeling. Because we're meant to feel good. We're meant to experience as much joy as possible. And that's what our inner being is always calling us to. So when we're not going in the direction towards things that make us feel good, that brings us joy, you know, that's when we're out of alignment. And so I love that you kind of brought that up, is that it is very much based on how we're feeling, and that we are supposed to be feeling good.
And I think too, you know, if you think of us as, you know, spiritual energy beings, you know, we're not just these bodies. And so when you kind of think about the fingerprint of the body, you know, there's an energetic fingerprint. Mm-hmm. So I believe that each one of us bring a different kind of joy to the world. Yeah. So we need to focus almost more on that feeling than on the doing. Because you could be joyful, you know, doing something that people would say is a menial job. But if you're happy doing it, that's what's important. So I think the kind of that male energy that we've been in for, you know, centuries, yeah, was about that doing, achieving, competition. And now we're kind of shifting more to this feminine energy of being, nurturing, caring.
Yeah. I totally agree with that. there's definitely that shift
and I think it takes
a softening.
It takes some of the pressure off of us too, mm-hmm. right? That we don't have to fit in.
Yes. Yes. We can flow however the spirit leads instead of, squelching that. I love that. So how did you start shifting your beliefs then? How did you, when you started evaluating maybe what you were taught or what you took on from childhood and on and up, how did you start shifting those beliefs? Because this is the part where I want people to be able to experience the hope that, oh my gosh, if she did that, then I can do that. Because, so just express a little bit what your process was to start shifting the beliefs that were keeping you muted.
So I think really for all of us, when we're in an indoctrinated belief, or I call them programs, sometimes mm-hmm. these are, things that have been passed down right. from generation to generation. And I believe that our generation and the generations that are being birthed now, we're not here to continue these stories of lack and suffering. We're here to change it. We're here to shut it down. So really the first step is to become aware of it. And again, this is an ongoing process. Some of the shoulds that have been kind of running me and my behaviors, I've just become aware of in the last few months. So it's first, that first step is just becoming aware. Why are you doing what you're doing? Mm-hmm. Is it something that you want to be doing? What is coming from it? Is it something good? Is it taking you toward your joy, or is it taking you away from your joy? Yes. So that's really the first step. Once we see it, then we actually have a choice of whether or not we want to be in that belief or that that story. And for me, it's like sometimes I'll see that that story of even my dad doesn't love me for who I am. Now that may play out in a relationship with someone else, or even in a business relationship. If someone doesn't email me back, there's that feeling of rejection that comes. And I've learned to recognize that, okay, there's that childhood wound saying that this person doesn't love me for who I am. And then I can go back to that child self and say, no, you are love. You're loved. You are love. This is not about you. Mm-hmm. So this is part of this, this phrase that I like to use, which is awareness equals the power of choice equals the power to change. So first we become aware, then we see a choice of whether or not to engage in it. Because sometimes if we engage in that indoctrination or that story or that energy, it's really almost self-sabotage of who we are here to be.
Right.
So absolutely. When we can see it as that, then it's easier to free ourselves from it, I think.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I was thinking, as you started moving through this, because that's a huge break from being told as a small child not to have anything to do with healing yourself, not working through that. That I think those are like the key points that you were talking about. With the becoming aware, since our soul is always calling us to more life, to more joy, to more truthfulness of who we are, that tug is always there, going on in the background. So it just amazes me how you can go from, you know, you cannot do this to doing this.
So it wasn't overnight, you know, yeah. It wasn't overnight. And it took really, I think, expanding my mind from what I had been taught to the kind of what I was talking about before, just the infinite possibilities that are available to us. But those beliefs really just, you know, they narrow us, they box us, they cage us. So I started becoming hyper vigilant about watching myself and ways that I was limiting myself. And that was huge.
That would be huge. That would be so helpful to really be mindful of that. So as you've transformed now, what has that been making available to you? I always say our mess is our message. So when we've moved through something, we've healed through trauma or child wounds or whatever it happens to be, where we've muted and before our own safety, you know, I mean, we had to develop that safety mechanism. You know, now as you are healing, like you said, it's a process. It's never over. We are eternal beings, so we can't ever come to a conclusion, an ending. So what is that? What is your message now? How do you use this? How do you use your unmuted voice now for the good in the world?
So I love that you say the mess is the message, because I often say the greatest opportunities are found in our challenges.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'll use myself again as an example. You know, here's this story that I had kind of convinced myself to live in, was that it matters what other people think of you. So you better watch and, you know, try to figure that all out. Whereas the work that I'm doing is really different. It's not conventional. It's woo-woo or whatever. It's, you know, it's mind, body, spirit, emotions, healing beyond this moment, beyond this time and place. And when I think about just how ironic it is, right, that here's this story that I'm told that I have to fit in, I have to blend in, and yet I'm here to stand out. Mm-hmm. I'm here to do this different thing. And the work that I do is almost effortless when I go to that space of just being myself.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Yes, and I think that's because that's, again, we're aligning with the more life that our soul is calling us to. So it can be effortless. It can be easy. It can be flow. It doesn't have to be push, push, push. I'm going to do this project. Because it's a relaxed, you know, joy, appreciation, living your truth should make you feel relaxed. That should be your indicator of saying, I'm on the right path.
Right.
If it's a struggle, if it's a fight, if it's a, always striving, you it feels so bad. You've got to know that is totally in a disalignment with who you really are on the inside as your inner being.
So I like to kind of encapsulate the work I do. I have my business, I call it Healing Resonance with Christy Borst, because again, that's kind of expressing that there's this innate energy that's coming through me as me. Yes. That can allow people to accelerate physical healing, calm the mind, soothe the emotions, and expand that spiritual awareness of themselves. And early on in doing the work, the process came through to me as perspective reboot. So it's almost as if, you know, the computer's kind of not working right. So you shut it down, you reboot it.
You said perspective reboot?
Yes.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. Yeah. That is good. Because we do. We definitely do need our perspective reboot. Sometimes kicking the
literal boot. I don't kick anybody.
Yeah, I got that. But I definitely do like that. I like that perspective reboot idea. Because it's
that light bulb, right?
Yes. I call it light bulb in the soul moments, you know.
Oh, I like that.
Because it's, you know, just all of a sudden, boom, we're there. So how can people get a hold of you?
So I do have a website, mm-hmm. which I think you're going to put up, but it's www.thevibetothrive.com. Mm-hmm. And there you'll find information about the healing services I offer on a one-to-one basis or as couple work. I also have some pre-recorded sessions that focus on the individual chakras, because many times if the energy is stuck in a specific chakra, the body organs in that area start to have physical problems. And I do offer a lot of free support through that website with a Perspective Reboot podcast and a blog. And I usually suggest that people start with the oldest ones of those and kind of just look through mm-hmm. them and listen or read the ones that call to them, because there are healing and empowerment codes in those messages that can help people unmute their voice or even kind of find that cork and pull it out. And I think, you know, it's funny, when I was thinking about coming online and I was thinking of your question about when did you first realize that your voice was muted, and Spirit kind of said jokingly, you know, back in the cave when, you know, the man took the woman by the hair, you know, and clubbed her. So I think it's not totally unusual for women, not just in our culture, but all cultures, to have a block in their throat chakra, which, you know, explains why a lot of women have thyroid problems. So it's so important, this message that you're sharing, Marianne, to really find ways to express your voice, whether that's, it doesn't even have to be vocally, it can be just through being, yes. through your beingness.
I can't agree more, because that was, my affected my health. All the indoctrinated beliefs made me feel so worthless. Mm-hmm. So unworthy and so fearful all the time, guilt and shame, you know, because I wasn't obeying the rules, the religious dogma that we were taught, and I couldn't seem to keep those rules. And so there was always a part of me where I just remember walking around for years with a lump in my throat, just because of the nerves and the tension. And so I developed throat issues 3 different times. Mm-hmm. I had a sore throat as a kid, always had sore throat. Finally had a tonsillectomy at 15. Then in my early 20s, I had to have thyroid surgery because I developed a nodule in my thyroid. And then again at my end of my 20s, I developed Graves' disease, all because I was not allowed to speak my truth, because of the indoctrinated beliefs that women were to be silent. Women were not to be heard. Your wants, needs, desires didn't matter. So I totally understand. And I think this is why this topic is so important for me, around voice, because that's where so much of my illness metaphysically went stagnant and affected my physical being. So I so appreciate that. Yes, you've definitely touched on that. There's so many places where our energy gets stagnant, and then it disrupts, it creates the dis-ease, the imbalance in our body.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, the other part of that, you know, that lump in your throat, you can think of it as a block, but it's also trying to get your attention.
Oh, yes.
And again, it's your greatness calling you.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So, you know, that can happen for many people in their stomach, which is your personal mm-hmm. power center. You know, they can have a lot of stomach issues, or they think about doing something and they feel like really queasy or scared. Yes. You know, if you can kind of look at that a different way, maybe not as something that's keeping you safe, but that it's your greatness calling you. It's your greatness calling you to be more empowered, to speak your truth. People that have headaches, you know, to see beyond the seeing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because I suffered with migraines since I was a teenager for years and years and years. I was on so many, you know, just so many body parts missing now because of surgeries, because of the disease that I created in my body. You know, I always tell people I'm surprised I don't rattle when I walk because I have so many parts missing, you know? And so I totally understand this. This is just so right up my alley as far as, you know, knowing that. Because now I feel really good, you know.
Well, right, because your body doesn't have to be trying to tell you mm-hmm. what's wrong. You know, these illnesses, they're not random. It's trying to communicate, and we just haven't been taught the language.
Yes, yes.
Suppress it, right? We've been taught to cut it out.
Yes.
Take a pill, tone it down. But we need to understand what it is. And that's part of what my gift is helping people understand what is the language of the pain or the disease in your body. Mm-hmm. What is this calling you to?
Oh, I love that. What a beautiful work. Thank you so much, Christy, for being my guest. Thank you so much for sharing your story and giving us hope. And showing us even the path that you took, the awareness, the awakening that you had. So I just want to invite everybody again to visit her website, thevibetothrive.com. And it'll be in your show notes also. And as always, I want to thank everybody for coming and visiting. And I am so thankful that you joined us for another episode of the Unmuted Voices. And as always, also, you are welcome to visit my website, wearejoybooks.com. You'll find the books that I have available, upcoming projects. This project of Unmuted Voices will be the anthology for January of 2023. So I'm looking forward to that. Christy, do you have anything else you would like to leave us with, a word of wisdom?
I think I would just say, you know, the time is now and your light is needed. Watch for ways that you're self-sabotaging yourself, because you can change so much by changing yourself. And that's really the only person you can change.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. We only have control over ourselves. That's for sure. And the thing is, we have that freedom of choice. That's our free will. I call it our free will or our free won't. Are you going to choose, or are you going to decide not to choose and choose your free won't instead? Right. Choose your free will. Choose the freedom. Choose the joy. Choose the full of life.
Even not choosing is a choice.
Exactly. So I appreciate you, Christy. Thanks again for being my guest. Thank you, everyone. Thank you. We will see you on the next show.
Bye-bye.